You are in the image business. Many photographers over the years have had sketchy backgrounds and have not always practiced the craft to its highest quality, so you need to make sure there is no doubt in people's minds that you are extremely professional in your business and your approach to all of your clients. A lot of people, as soon as they find out you are a photographer, they will automatically place you into a group of people that are probably a lower social group than they. When I sold the lab, I built a 7,500 square foot house in an upcoming residential area in Caraca. The guy developing the area wanted some aerial views and hired a helicopter, and I went up to do the job for him and sent copies of the photos to the other 20 or so houses in the development. I had occasion to telephone a guy in the development that had his house built out of imported Italian marble. He said, "Yes, of course, I want a copy of the photo. Where can I get it?" I said, "Just drop into my house. You go past it every day." His voice became very guarded and said, "Where?" I said, "The first house on the left." He says, "The big house," with a sound of wonderment and credibility. I had great delight in saying yes. Because I had done photography, he placed me far below himself socially, and he did this automatically because he had never met me, but because I was a photographer, he felt it must be right. It is not only where you live that is important, it is the clothes you wear and the car you drive. I employed at the lab a general manager. As he was from England, he could bring in one car duty-free. He bought a second-hand Rolls-Royce, and I took it off his hands and had occasion to drive it to a friend's wedding that I was taking a few photos at. A lot of the guests were extremely interested in who was the owner of the cheap $20,000 Rolls-Royce, and again were amazed that was the guy that was snapping the photos. Unless you're a car enthusiast, you have no idea what a second-hand Rolls-Royce is worth, and most people place it in the $100,000 range. So yes, you are in the image business, and it is your image that is judged before you take a photograph, so everything about you, what you wear, what you drive, where you operate your business from, even the camera you use. The person that was installing the air conditioner in my home was telling me he went to his son's wedding. The photographer, he said, had the same camera as he, but he had the cheap lens. So the photographer was being judged without his knowledge, and as far as the father of the groom will always be concerned, the photographer could not afford the better lens. Now I hear some of you say, "Ivan, you are out of touch, people do not live like this today." Try chatting to a person in the latest Tesla when you park beside them in your banger, and see if you get invited to their home for dinner. So let us get down to the nitty-gritty. There are four classes of people. In theory, that you can divide everybody up into four classes of people, and these people, most times, shop in predetermined areas, eat out in restaurants in predetermined areas, drive predetermined types of cars, and mix with predetermined people. I think it can be best explained by describing the type of restaurant that these sorts of people would normally eat at as a norm. Group 1 would eat at a restaurant we will call Albert's Cafe or McDonald's. Group 2 would eat at Cobb & Coy, or a family-type restaurant. Group 3 would eat at Bonaparte's or Rossini's. Group 4 would eat at some trendy little restaurant with expensive decor and be the restaurant that was in at the moment. Most of the clients you want come from the Group 3 category. Occasionally a Group 4 person walks through your door because there is nowhere else for them to shop for photography, and quite often they are uncomfortable participating in your sort of photography, and you should recommend that most times you would be better off with this sort of person if you sent them to somebody else. In reflection, you would be probably right, because they will probably refer to you to their friends as that grubby little photographer, and it is a title that you may not really deserve. Once one accepts these four classes of people and realizes that it is a fact, one can then design one's business to cater to these people and build your studio decor and services to suit these people. However, don't expect to find enough people in tirao or nightcaps to set up and run a class 3 studio. Do remember, often people will shop up, in other words, buy from a more expensive place than they normally buy. And occasionally people will shop down, but normally they shop from a business that they feel comfortable with and from a business they know they will get value for their money. It is always interesting to listen to whom the photographers feel they are dealing with, and then by examining their work, they felt they were dealing with class 3 people, whereas in actual fact, looking at their photographic quality and they themselves, they were closer to a 2. If you're not sure of these facts, just think of yourself. If you want some clothes, You head straight for a shop or a group of shops that you have shopped at before and that you have been satisfied with what they sell. It is better still if they call you by your name. It is the same if you want to buy a car, you won't go shopping for a Ford at the Lexus dealer. The big question is if you ask $10,000 for the photographs that your clients would like to order. Would they think they were also buying the studio? If they looked at you, would they think you had ever seen $10,000 by the way you dress and what you drive? If you think the hoodie you wear shows you are an artist and they should appreciate you for your art, remember most artists died poor. Quality for money. People will pay top dollar for top quality anywhere in the world in any sort of economy. Likewise, people will pay bottom dollar for bottom quality in any country anywhere in the world. However, people will not pay top dollar for bottom quality and be happy. So do study your quality and do look for ways of increasing the quality and for ways of enhancing your product. Selling. I attended a sales conference in the 1980s at a photography studio in LA. This studio in Pasadena had two full-time photographers and they certainly were not in the volume trade. They had part-time salespeople and full-time salespeople and they had a conference for these people, 12 in all, and these salespeople were from throughout this large city in different areas. They in actual fact planned an incentive plan for these salespeople, and at the time top line was that if they managed to procure for the studio, 80 sitting a month with an average order of $500, this would give a yearly total of $500,000, and that salesperson would get either a Jaguar motor car or a Cadillac or walk away with the equivalent money. If they only managed to get 40 sittings a month, they would only end up with a mink coat or diamonds. This studio was thinking big during a downturn in the economy. Now these figures could not be matched in most country towns in New Zealand, however. We do have 14 major cities, and certainly Auckland with now over 1,700,000 is larger than the majority of cities throughout the states. Remember, nothing happens until somebody sells something, so sitting on your backside waiting for customers to come in will do exactly nothing. I was also at probably the most expensive studio in the greater LA area on my visit, and even they admit that $1,000 orders do not come easy. Their price list runs into thousands of dollars, so do not think you can achieve major orders without having to work for them. Please this year set yourself a goal to plan and improve your sales technique, to plan and improve your marketing technique, to plan and improve your photography. People buy from one photographer instead of another, not because the person they buy from is a better photographer, but because they are sold on what that photographer has. When you are looking at what to sell, you should look for the difference between you and the other photographer. This is often referred to as the differential advantage. Most businesses fail because they fail to meet the needs of the marketplace. You must be aware of the needs of the marketplace. What does the market want? How are we going to get the goods that we have into the hands of the public? Your location is important. People must know you exist. I define the difference between selling and marketing as: selling equals getting rid of what you have. Marketing equals having what the market needs. It is easy to be a success in New Zealand. There is no real competition, and the bigger your competition, the better. A one-person business can change direction easier as a large company has momentum. A very good illustration of this is Kodak and how when the market changed, no one person in the company had the ability to change direction. The other point you must remember is that people are as lazy as they dare be. If they are comfortable with what they are doing, and they think, I've got just enough money, they will be reluctant to change and maybe lose what they have. Written by Ivan McLellan, from Ashburton. This voice was generated by a program called Revoicer, which translates text into speech, and this is the voice of James.